Time for Boomer Esiason. Boomer is brought to you this week by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. By Shaw's. Perfecting the Art of Fresh. By Zooty. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zooty.com for details. By McFarlane Energy. Check out their home heating oil incentives at McFarlaneEnergy.com. And Boomer is also brought to you by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros. And he joins us this morning on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was great. I had to work most of the day, but we had Dallas and Oakland, so I don't know, about 40 million people just watched me do halftime and postgame, so that was pretty good.
Well, I mean, at least you didn't. Wiggy is in bad shape this morning. You reminded me because I was thinking of the ref tripping, unfortunately, on the pylon during that game.
Yes.
Wiggy injured himself, hurt his hip getting into or out of a hot tub. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, the older we get, the more these injuries happen. I don't know if anything like that ever happened to you or not.
Not tripping and falling out of a hot tub. I usually just slide right in and slide right out. That's just the way it is. I will say this, though. I was wondering how Wiggy was going to be this morning now with the Patriots number two in the AFC, and he's been such a downer on this team since the beginning of the season. But, man, they are rolling, and they look great. And I don't want to ask Bill Belichick if they arrived or not, but I just will say that, you know, for 6 weeks now, they have been playing awesome, awesome football.
Did Mac Jones look like a passenger to you yesterday?
No, he didn't, although he did miss Hunter Henry. And I'm sure knowing Mac, and at least getting to know him, I should say, and reading about him and watching his interviews, that he is lamenting the fact that he missed a wide-open Hunter Henry and would have had a third touchdown pass. But I don't know, man. The kid is just – this kid's got poise beyond his years. He's with a great coach in Josh McDaniels. They got a great scheme. They run the ball. They're big. They're strong. Their defense, even though they gave up a lot of yards on the ground yesterday, basically did what they had to do and hold Ryan Tannehill to under 100 yards passing, get an interception in the end zone. This is all – traits that the Patriots have had since Bill Belichick has gotten there.
What, when you look at Bill Belichick and what he dealt with last season, his off season, and then bringing along Mac the way they have brought Mac along, how impressive is that, Boomer?
Well, you know, you guys laughed at me last year when I said it might have been his best coaching job that they won seven games with Cam Newton as his quarterback, as was evidenced yesterday once again down in Miami. But, you know, last year with all the guys that opted out, they didn't have the money spent on free agency that they do this year. And certainly they were playing, you know, with a quarterback who really had no concept of what they were trying to do offensively. And they tried to build the offense around Cam and his very unique skill set and the ability to run and his size and all that other stuff. And they still won seven games. So I wouldn't say that it's all that big of a surprise that they are where they are, you know, given that they spent, what, $163 million in guaranteed money for a lot of these free agents. And, again, a lot of these guys are showing up in bits and pieces. I mean, Matthew Judon is a guy that shows up every game for sure. But when you take a look at the wide receivers, you take a look at the running backs, I mean, these aren't household names. I mean, these are names that, you know, guys within the Patriot organization – you know, were scouting and understood who were going to be free agents, went after them, brought them in, and then they added them with this rookie quarterback who's playing just terrific. I mean, I can't put it any other way. And they're gonna have a real shot at going to the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback if they continue to stay healthy and play the way that they're playing, especially defensively.
Well, Boomer, you bring up the pass to Hunter Henry. And when some people use halftime to go to the bathroom, maybe get a new snack, I say, no, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to listen to what Boomer had to say about the game. So you said that during halftime. You said that was the only miss Mac Jones had during the first half. When you look at the second half, was that the only miss he had of the entire game?
Well, you know, Courtney, I appreciate you watching me.
That's, yes,
of
course.
That means
every
a
time.
Lot to me.
Every
yes,
time.
I appreciate it. You know, he'll make a miss here or there, or he'll have a mistake, and I'm sure he'll have a misread, or he'll screw up a formation or a check at the line of scrimmage. We all did that, even the guys that, you know, were in the league for 10 to 15 years. And I'm sure Tom Brady still does that to this day because things are moving rather rapidly and there's a lot of room for mistakes, believe me. But, you know, that one was just so obvious to everybody. And you could see how he reacted to it after he threw it. And, again, like for somebody who's played, I know that it's always the negative that sticks with you as opposed to the positive. So, overall, I give him an A for that the game and the performance yesterday, but he would have gotten an A-plus had he hit in Hunter Henry. So I would think that he would have a hard time sleeping last night, and he would be running that through his brain because I believe that's how his brain works. He's always going to try to get better. He's never going to rest on what his performance was, and he knows that that was one that he wanted back.
Boomer, I would probably agree with you. I'd give him an A-minus because it was a stick route he threw late in the game that almost turned into a pick six. But the one thing I will say about this kid, I was watching Alabama, and they were doing a story on Bryce Young, the quarterback who plays for them now, and he talked about how Mac Jones knew every cut-up, stayed in the film room. When you think about your playing time, what is it like for a kid who's a rookie to come in? And I will give him a lot of credit. He doesn't.
You're giving him credit.
It's almost close to Christmas. Oh. He doesn't make mistakes. So when you played the position, how difficult is that for a rookie to go out there and almost play like, I know he makes mistakes at times, but he doesn't make those rookie mistakes that you see a lot of guys make. How impressive is that from a kid like Mac Jones?
No, it's ridiculous. My rookie year, I had no idea what I was doing. I really didn't. And when you hear guys like Sam Darnold say that he saw ghosts, I know exactly what he meant when he said that when he was playing against the Patriots. Sometimes as a rookie, you feel like there's 15 guys on the field and you can't believe how fast people are and how things are moving. And probably the hardest thing for him, Wiggy, is every single week he's got to go against another defense. And, you know, that's the hardest thing for quarterbacks to get used to because it's never the same. Everybody's got different tendencies. Everybody does different things. And then when you go from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4 defense and then from a 4-3 defense to a 4-2 or dime defense to different coverages, these kids don't see those things in college. That's one of the reasons why they have such a hard time adjusting early on in their career. I mean, Daniel Jones is still struggling here as the Giant quarterback. Zach Wilson looked awful yesterday, even though they won. I mean, there are so many guys all across the landscape of the NFL that just have never really had it register with them what's going on around them. And Mac is way ahead of all of those guys. I mean, he's like in the land of Dan Marino right now when you think about Dan Marino's rookie year, when you go all the way back when he took over. He's Justin Herbert, rarefied air, Joe Burrow, when he took over 2 years ago before he got hurt. I mean, these are the numbers that he's putting up, and they're scary. And on top of all of that, you know, his team is not losing. Those guys, with the exception of Marino, those other guys all had losing teams. And I would say that they're winning in large part because of his performance, especially as the season has moved on. And you would think by now there would be some sort of mental fatigue that has taken over. And I don't see any of that. I see more and more being offered to him in their game plans. He's throwing the ball down the field more. He's getting more comfortable. We still got a long way to go. But up to this point, he is clearly the runaway offensive rookie of the year in the NFL.
Meanwhile, the former quarterback of this team, down 10 at the half, come back, they win that game. When is it okay to start talking about a potential Brady Belichick Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, we could all hope for that. I mean, it would be amazing. I think it would be great, certainly from covering these guys and then having them on the biggest stage and then having a rematch at that, which would be even better. I mean, so there's so many things that we can all hope for underneath our Christmas tree. That would be one of them. But Tom, again, was just a remarkable yesterday. You know, you could see they have a good team. And the fact that Gronk is back 100% obviously has a lot to do with his success. I don't know how many teams have played against Gronk and Brady that cannot stop Rob Gronkowski running the most pedestrian of routes for a tight end. Just run right down the field, and every freaking time he runs right down the field, they just throw him the ball. It's like nobody knows that's coming. I mean, I know it's coming. I'm not even a defensive coordinator, for God's sake.
I think in NFL parlance, that's called the Wiggy.
I don't know about that.
The most pedestrian route is called the Wiggy.
No, Wiggy was known for blocking. He was a really good blocker. Just put his head down and run into somebody.
But before we get to Super Bowl talk, they do have some other matchups that are scary, I think, for Pats fans. But you look, Bills, Colts, Jags, Dolphins, who's the scariest when you look at this Pats team and who they have to face down the line?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the Miami Dolphins have won 4 in a row, so they have the second longest winning streak in the NFL behind the New England Patriots. So we all know how that usually goes at the end of the year between the Patriots and the Pats. I mean, the Dolphins and the Pats. Something always goes awry in that game. But I would still say that it's Josh Allen and the Bills. Now, they lost Tre'Davious White in their secondary. That's a huge loss for their defense. But the one thing, and I saw this yesterday in Denver against the Chargers, the one thing that the Buffalo Bills do not stop. It's like the Chargers. They cannot stop the run on the ground. And what is the one thing that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels want to do? They want to run the football. So that is a distinct advantage for the Patriots going into this game. And their secondary, the Patriots, is played awesome these last 5 weeks, that 6 weeks. That's one of the attributes of this defense that is not, at least to me, it doesn't seem to be getting a lot of love nationally. But when you watch them, man, they tip balls, they get interceptions, they get turnovers. And it's one of the reasons why they're winning. So there's a lot of good going on right now in New England. And as Bill Belichick will tell you, you know, we haven't arrived anywhere yet. We still have a lot of football left to play, and that's probably the smart way to take it.
Boomer, is it time to stop saying that Matt Stafford is a great quarterback?
Three straight weeks, three straight losses, three pick sixes in each one, you know, one in each of those games. I think Sean McVay was going to have a stroke on the sideline yesterday a couple times. He still has a big arm. He still has plenty of time to prove whether or not he is the reason why they're going to win, as opposed to Jared Goff being the reason why they couldn't get any further than they got. So I would say that he's a big thrower. He's a really good player, but he is not, you know, a top five or top 10 quarterback in my eyes. It never has been, but still, you know, for them, there's still a lot of football left to be played. Really what it comes down to for them is winning in the playoffs. I mean, they got a good team. They added a lot of good players. Now the pressure is on him to deliver. And with the way that Sean McVay was acting yesterday, I'm sure he's going to have a couple conversations with Matthew Stafford during the week.
Boomer, there's, you know, only a handful of games left. If the Patriots are able to win 11 games, is Matt Judon's name as defensive player of the year, does he have a legitimate chance? Because I think based on when you look at picking those guys, defensive player of the year, I think a lot has to do with the way your team is playing. And he, you know, I think he's maybe fourth in the league in sacks. And you talk about New England's defense. Does he have a legitimate chance of winning Defensive Player of the Year? Can we see two guys from New England in, like, what, the past 4 years win Defensive Player of the Year?
It could be a possibility. You know, I'm one of the voters for those awards. And, you know, I take those awards extremely seriously. You know, I was fortunate enough to win the MVP back in 1988, and I'm still very proud of that accomplishment. So when I sit down and I start looking at everybody and I look at the impact of players, there's no question that every time you watch a Patriots game, those red sleeves are all over the place. You know, I don't know if he wears those things just so we all know he's out there and that's him. but he is an impact player. There is no question about it. I would say in terms of free agent acquisitions around the league, he would have to be right there. He's either at the number one or number two most impactful free agent signing this offseason. So he'll be in the conversation. There's no question about it, Wiggy. There's absolutely no question about it, especially because their defense is getting better each and every week. And, you know, you're seeing the numbers go down and you're seeing the turnovers and the takeaways go up. And a big part of that is because of the way that he is playing.
Speaking of his defense, how big of a bag of cash does J.C. Jackson have
all of it
next season?
Well, there's a reason why Stephon Gilmore is no longer with the New England Patriots. You know, and the hardest thing for a coach, a general manager, somebody who runs his organization the way that Bill Belichick does, he knows when to get rid of people. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, whether it be Ty Law, Richard Seymour, or this in this case, it's Stephon Gilmore, bringing him over from Buffalo and then cutting him loose, knowing that he has the guys that are there and they're going to end up having to pay those guys. I mean, to me, it's amazing how he manages his roster. That's a big part of what he does that never really ever gets spoken about. And that is, you know, in some cases you have to be ruthless because fans know who the great players are, and sometimes you got to let a great player go because you can't afford him and maybe three other guys on your roster. But, man, they do a great job, and they did a great job this year managing that roster and spending the money where they did. And J.C. Jackson, listen, he's going to make a ton of dough. There's no question about it.
All right, last one from me. We're doing all Christmas, rock and roll Christmas bumper music this morning. So I'll give you a request before we go. What's your favorite Christmas?
My favorite Christmas?
Rock and roll song. It's gotta
okay,
be.
Does it have to be rock and roll?
Yes.
Can it be a little country rock?
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
Man, I got to think about this for 1 second. If you give me 1 second, I may be able to find one. Because I do play it. I haven't played it yet, but I got to find it in my playlist.
Darius Rucker's It's White Christmas.
No, sorry about that. No.
Are you going to Spotify right now?
No, I'm not going to Spotify. I have my Apple list.
Yeah, he's going to his.
Are you on the rotary phone? What are you doing?
I'm just looking at the list. We got you. Shut up for 1 second. Merry Christmas, by the way. Hopefully, you guys are doing well.
We are.
That's good. It sounds like it. You know what? I can't really find it, but it's a Luke Bryan song, and it's a remake. It's a remake.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll find that. Yeah, I mean, he probably hasn't covered too many Christmas songs. So, all right, Luke Bryan and a remake. All right.
We know it's not Baby, It's Cold Outside.
No, I know it's not that. Okay, we're canceled. Not allowed to say that. By the way, that was canceled. Yeah. Yes. I would just think that, you know, you got to give me a little heads up before you ask me something like this.
No. It's no fun when you do that.
I'm seeing Oh Holy Night or Run, Run, Rudolph by Luke Bryan.
Yeah, Run, Run, Rudolph. That's it. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you very much.
Boomer, we'll do that next, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take it easy. Have a great week.
Thanks, Boomer.